Welcome to Hearts to Believe. So good to have you join with us. Today, Jim Barber will continue in his series from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 12, with a message entitled, Aliens Banking on a Promise. Lord, bless your word, I pray, and strengthen us through it. Receive praise, honor, and glory, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm reading from verse 8 to 12. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city, which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. We return once again to Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. And as we have considered various individuals to this point, we've considered Abel and Enoch and Noah, those who have walked by faith and those who have been pleasing to the Lord. The beginning and the end of chapter 11 has these bookends that these people, these men, gained God's approval all by faith. See Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and then also chapter 11, verse 39. It speaks of having gained approval through their faith. And they speak also about that which was promised. This message I'm entitling, Aliens Banking on a Promise. Now, I don't think anyone would want to be called an alien, but here we have Abraham described as alien-like. In verse 9, it says, by faith, he lived as an alien. He didn't have strange things coming out of his head, but he was, to the people round about him, very different. It is all by faith. Verse 8 starts by faith. Verse 9 starts by faith. Verse 11, which speaks of Sarah, it begins by faith. How can we miss the strong emphasis, the push that is placed right before us, that we also are to walk by faith? By faith, Abraham. When he was called, we go back to Genesis chapter 12, and the very outset, we hear that God called this man Abraham, and his name at that time was Abram. He called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. And God said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. How much better could it be than for God to say, as he also says to us, I will bless you, I will make you a blessing. And he says, I will be your protector. Those who bless you, they will know blessing. Those who curse you, though they will know my derision. They will know my scorn. They will know, in fact, my withholding power, even my curse. And Abraham received this promise, which was fulfilled most especially in the coming of Jesus Christ, in you and in your descendants, in you and through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Of course, there could be no greater blessing than that a Savior would come to die upon Calvary, and that we, who were under the penalty and the shame, the guilt, the burden of sin, that there would be the Son of God, would be born of the line of Abraham, that he would come and that he would die in our place, that he would bless us with forgiveness and cleansing and a home in heaven. So we read after this promise of Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1, 2, and 3, verse 4 says, Abraham, having heard this, it says, "So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran." Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all their possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Now it's difficult for us, or for most of us, to put ourselves into Abraham's boots at this time. Travel was most certainly not what it is today. Abraham had not been to the land of promise. He was going from all that he had known to some place where he had never been, and perhaps information was scant at best. But Abram, he had heard something of immense value to him. He had heard the voice of God, he had heard the call of God, and he responded to that. And Abraham, he was walking most certainly by faith, because sight was just not a part of it. He was holding fast to the promise of God that what God had told him, he was actually going to do for him. We come back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, he was someone who had been called out of his former existence, out of his former home, everything he had known. What a picture that is of Christ who comes to us now. And whereas we have been born in sin, and we have happily dwelt there through our whole lives, Christ comes and he knocks on our door and he says, "I have something better for you." Now, do we hear and do we attend to his voice? Or do we say, "Thank you for the offer, appreciate it very much, but I'm perfectly happy where I am. My sin satisfies me, my habits, the way of doing things on my terms. I am perfectly content to stay right here. I think that I stand a better chance of happiness on my terms rather than of surrendering to you." Abraham, he was one who was called. Did you know that you also have a call upon your life? It isn't an illegitimate call. It isn't that Christ comes and he says, "Look, I don't have anything to do with you, but I am going to call you to myself." You see, He is the one who has created us, and He is the one who has purchased, He has redeemed us. So when He comes and He calls us by name, and when He beckons that we come and that we dwell in His way, it is not that it's out of order. Nothing is more perfectly in order, and nothing is more perfectly right than when we leave the devil who has been our master, when we leave Satan who has been our Lord, and when we cross over because of Christ's call and because of Christ's shed blood, and we come under the protection and under the lordship, the mastery of Jesus Christ. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, he obeyed. How often I said to my daughters as they were growing up, "Blessed are you if you not only hear these things, but you do them." One thing to hear what is the right way in which to walk, so much infinitely better that we follow through on hearing with obeying. Abraham not only heard the call, but he obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. He was going in the direction of blessing. He was going in the direction of God being open-handed to this man. And it says, though, he went out not knowing where he was going. He was placing his hand in God's hand, but not knowing where exactly his journey would take him, only that God was the one who had promised, and that was enough for Abraham. He was one who was saying, "God, if you are the one who is leading me, if you are the one who is providing the inheritance, if it is your voice that is calling me, I am going with you rather than staying here all by myself." So he goes out, not knowing where he was going. How that describes so many men going down the road without a map. But Abraham, he had the Lord leading him, showing him where he was to go. He comes to the land, but he doesn't immediately take possession of the land. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9 says, not only did he go out by faith, but he dwelt, he lived by faith, however, as an alien in the land of promise. He only purchased a small plot of ground to serve as a burial for his family. He lives as an alien. He lives as an outsider. He is a foreigner in the land which he would receive. As in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with his son Isaac and his grandson Jacob, who would be fellow heirs of the same promise. Now I want you to see that three times in this five-verse passage that I've given to you, three times we have the word or the phrase by faith, but we also have three times the single word promise. We have it twice coming to us in verse 9. That Abraham, he lived in the land of promise, and that Isaac and Jacob, they were fellow heirs of the same promise. And then when we come at the end of verse 11 to Sarah and how that she conducted herself and how that she lived, there was also the word, she considered him, God that is, faithful who had promised. Promise was an immense part of these people's lives because they actually received very little, but yet that was good enough for them. They were holding to the promise of the goodness of God, the kindness and the mercy of God, and they continued to move forward constantly in God's direction. Abraham, having gone out by faith, living by faith as an alien, along with Isaac and Jacob, here we have the customary three. Very often in the Old Testament, the reference is made, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were each living by faith, walking by faith, dwelling by faith, imbued, you might say, infected with faith, infected in a good way. Abraham, doing all of this, verse 10 says, he was looking for something. Abraham, he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Now, Abraham, it just said in verse 9, he didn't live in a palace. He didn't live in any fancy house with a permanent structure to it. He dwelt in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob. It seems that as we read out of Genesis, that these were constantly on the move, looking for foliage, looking for pastures where their flocks and their cattle, their herds, could be well taken care of, and looking for wells that would provide the water that they would so urgently needed. Well, Abraham, he was content to dwell there in those tents, and even though he was as a foreigner, as an alien, holding to the promise, all the while confident that God was going to provide him a place where he would dwell, and that God himself was the architect, he was the designer of it, and that he was the builder, and that there would be nothing more glorious than what God had put into place, and nothing more splendid or satisfying, nothing more secure than what God himself had put his hand to. Two more verses, verse 11 and 12 of Hebrews chapter 12. The focus now comes away from Abraham and exactly where he lived. It comes, and we read of Sarah. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Sarah, she was an old lady, and Abraham, he was an old man. They had never had a family of their own, and time was well past for those things to happen. We read in Romans how that the Apostle Paul said that Abraham considered his own body now as good as dead. Well, he realized that if something was to happen at this stage of their life, most especially that they had never had a family of their own, that it would be absolutely and completely of God's doing. God was the one who was going to have to fulfill the promise, because humanly speaking, there was no way. Both Abraham and Sarah, they looked to the Lord and said, Lord, it's going to have to be you. So by faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, and this well beyond the usual, or as it says here, the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Do you consider God faithful? It's good for us to consider, who is the Lord who watches over us? Is he miserly? Is he stingy? Is he parsimonious? Is he good? Is he faithful? Is he just? Is he merciful? Sometimes things escape from our lips which betray that at times at least there is the feeling that God is not good, and we need to pull ourselves back to the Scriptures and to the declaration of what the Bible has to say on the matter. So often our own feelings and our own impressions, they lead us astray, and our thoughts are skewed horribly. But Sarah, it says, she considered him faithful. She considered that God was full of faithfulness. He was chock full of it. And that the one who had promised a son to her and to her even older husband, that God was going to fulfill that. And verse 12, therefore, there was born, the day did come, when Abram was 100 and Sarah was 90. There came the day of rejoicing after those long years of waiting and looking for the promise to be fulfilled. There finally came that day when there was born, even of one man, that man Abraham, and him, plainly put, as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Astronomers continue to delve into the wonder of the universe and to try to search to the farthest reaches, as far as they can possibly look, to see how many heavenly bodies are out there. And they learn and learn and learn. Remember that day when God took Abram outside of his tent and said, Abram, I want you to look into the sky. And I want you, if you are able, to count all what you see, every little twinkle in the night sky. Abram, as many stars as are up there, so shall your descendants be. And Abram, along this seashore, you see the tiny little grains of sand. So shall your descendants be. And Abraham, what an exciting thing this is. Abram, he just grabbed a hold of God's word. It wasn't that Sarah was starting to show her pregnancy. That would be years away. But at that point, Abraham, the one who had been called, the one who had obeyed, the one who had dwelt in a foreign land as an alien, he grabbed a hold of God's word and just held that to himself as though God had already fulfilled the promise. God has made the most wonderful promises to each and every one of us. God said that he would send a Redeemer, a Savior, one who would be his very own Son, one who would come to die upon Calvary's cross. And that promise was fulfilled in the perfect timing of God. So he came. He died on our behalf. He is the one who we look to that he might provide redemption. And this entire book of Hebrews is the one who holds out the glories of Jesus Christ, the one who is greater than Moses or Aaron or Joshua or any of the priests who came thereafter. He is the one who is our great high priest. He is the one who, unlike those priests of Old Testament times, who constantly were offering sacrifices and who could never sit down feeling that the job was done, Jesus is the one who comes having offered one. Hear that. He offered not 12 or 20 or 2,000 sacrifices. He is the one who offered one sacrifice, his own blood, and that has purchased the cleansing for all who come to him. This is utterly amazing. Jesus Christ has opened heaven for everyone who calls upon his name. And as he was meeting with his disciples just before he went to Calvary, he said to them, "I go to prepare a place for you." That is his promise. And he further said, "And if I go," which he has done, he said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He has died for you. He has gone ahead. He has sent his Holy Spirit to indwell each believer, and he is preparing now a place for all who delight in him, who have turned to him in repentance. I trust, O friend, that if you haven't looked to the cross, if you haven't looked to that center cross that was outside of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, that you would do that right now, that you would look to Christ, and that you would look and truly live. He has lived, he has died, he has been raised again, he has ascended. He is preparing heaven for all who look for his coming, and he is coming once again. His promise is sure, and we can now live by faith, confident of what he will do, what he has done, and what we will do in rejoicing in his presence. Lord, I pray for men and women who hear my voice right now, that they would hear your call, and that they would hear that you are calling their name. May there be obedience. May there be repentance. May there be a desire to be right with God. So, Lord, work in each heart and life. Be praised, honored, and glorified. These mercies we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you again for joining us for Hearts to Believe. Let me remind you of our current free offer. It is a book project entitled The Sermons in the Sermon, and it has the bonus of 2 audio CDs with it. Jim Barber preached a series of messages 3 years ago from the book of Acts, especially focusing upon the preaching of Peter, Stephen, Philip, and Paul. These messages, whether they be long or short, were the focus and have been taken to include in 21 brief messages in this book. The 2 CDs contain scripture readings from the King James Version taken from the book of Acts. You will enjoy. You will be blessed by this presentation. You may ask for it. It will be sent free and postage paid when you write to Hearts to Believe, Box 426, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3C2H6. Or you may call us at 1-833-367-3852. Hearts to Believe is an extension of the Faith to Live By radio and television ministry based in Winnipeg with Jim Barber. We leave you now with the Apostle Peter's benediction. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.